May 2024. My favorite Martin. Dear friends and family, when I was about 8 years old in 1963, a sitcom debuted on TV called My Favorite Martian, about a friendly alien who came from Mars and lived with an Earthling, resulting in all kinds of funny and uncanny escapades. This TV show came to mind while writing this particular article. You see, I have a favorite Martin, too. This past weekend, I had the high privilege and honor to perform a wedding for a young man who was a little brother, friend, co-worker in the kingdom, and spiritual son to me. This young man is Martin Elijah Kolb. One thing that made this wedding so special for me was that I first met Martin when he was 9 years old. He arrived at Telhai Camp with gleaming blonde hair and a very unique, high-shrilled voice that a counselor friend of mine at the time tried to mimic, but he couldn't. All he could do to emulate this little boy's voice was to whistle. An aside, this counselor friend who would eventually become a director himself was our beloved Rob Klein. He's in heaven now. Rob and I were saddened when Martin hit puberty and his voice deepened, as we would greatly miss that unique little boy voice. And yet, our Lord was both kind and funny to Rob and me. How so? He sent us Martin's little brother Jonas, who looked and sounded just like him, so we had a few more years of this little boy delight. Martin first attended camp in 2006. Over the decades, I remember my camp years via two things: the camp theme, which happened to be the fireplace that year, and my director's equestrian field dramas, which in 2006 was Narnia. This was Martin's year of arrival. Of the thousands of children, teenagers, and staff that had come through Hopewell Network summer camp since I first was given the helm, no one has achieved Martin's particular status. How so? Martin is the only camp alumnus who has filled every possible position in our camps. He was a camper, counselor, gopher, tech man, and director. When I am with him, I feel like a young teenager again, even a child. We laugh and play and tease each other like children. And I don't know how to stop doing it, nor do I ever want to. And yet I highly respect Martin. If I didn't, he would have never been selected to be to a director's role, given the huge responsibility it entails, in particular, being entrusted with children and teenagers. In choosing assistant directors over the years, I have had some very fine young and not-so-young men by my side. I always want to observe how they serve before I call them to lead. If one can't serve, one can't lead. Martin was definitely a servant. I just met a girl called Maria, or how do you solve a problem like Maria? Another very special aspect of this wedding was that Martin's bride-to-be was also a Hopewell summer camp alumnus, a camp nurse in particular, Maria Dad. Maria is a relative newcomer to our camps, having first served in 2022. It didn't take long for me to realize Maria fit right in with us, as at one of the camps I saw her joyfully sauntering through the Telhai Camp dining hall to my traditional Lawrence Welk music. I have played during meals since 1991. I knew right then and there that she was one of us. By the way, since 1991, I have never had a child nor teenager ever complain about our dining hall music. They love it. I strive to keep our camp squeaky clean in every possible way, including jokes, jesting, and music we play. An added confirmation that Maria fit right in was that she was a bona fide punster in her own right. Camps are not camps without tons of puns and Lawrence Welk music. Speaking of music, the processional music was recorded by Martin and Maria themselves, with Martin on piano and Maria on flute. I did not recognize the song as the wedding party came up the aisle until Maria herself approached. That was when her flute part in the song began, and it was How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria from the 1965 multi-Oscar-winning movie The Sound of Music. I laughed out loud. It was perfect. Holy, holy. To be asked to marry these two young Jesus-pursuing people was a privilege and honor I cannot adequately convey. This is especially so since Martin's father, Joel, is an experienced and seasoned pastor of many years, and Martin is his eldest son. To be honest, I felt a bit awkward performing this ceremony instead of Joel. But never once in all my interaction with him did I feel the least bit reticence from him that I was doing it. This added to it being such a humbling honor to me. For years I have referred to the Kolb family as my Kolb family, and it is true. The wedding ceremony was a reflection of the personal dedication and love of the bride and groom for their Savior. It was definitely one of the holiest, purest, and most wholesome weddings I have ever not only officiated, but ever attended. Kim was in agreement with this assessment. While standing by me waiting for Maria to come up the aisle, Martin was deeply crying. So was I. I just extended my arm out and placed my hand on his shoulder. Again, he was a cute little 9-year-old boy when I met him. An aisle on the aisle. From the outset, Martin and Maria's dream was to be married at Tel Hai Camp, where so many of their deepest and richest experiences in the Lord occurred. Tel Hai's policy typically does not include being a venue for weddings and their accompanying receptions, and this restriction is totally understandable, as Tel Hai is a Christian camp dedicated to the service and glory of Jesus Christ. Way too frequently, sadly, tragically, wedding ceremonies that are solemn and sacred are followed by receptions that are anything but. They are often rowdy with vile music and excessive drinking. So often wedding receptions dour the sweetness of the wedding ceremony. Yet, because Tel Hai administrative staff knew Martin and the quality of man he was, they gave special permission for this particular event. To add to the magic, Tel Hai also granted Martin and Maria's request to be married on Tel Hai's island on their pond. Hence, they would have an aisle on the aisle. It's Greek to me. Yet another unique aspect of this wedding was that Maria's mother's side of the family is Greek. Because of this, the wedding couple requested that the Greek Orthodox tradition of the Stefana be incorporated into the ceremony. Stefana are woven crowns connected by a ribbon. During the ceremony, the officiant blesses the Stefana in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He then takes the first Stefana and places it on the head of the groom, saying, "I crown you king of your home." He then does the same to the bride, crowning her as queen of her home. Afterwards, the couple places the Stefana in a prominent place in their bedroom for the rest of their lives. As Christ loved the church. My message / homily for the wedding was called "As Christ Loved the Church" from Ephesians 5:25. I was allotted 10 minutes for the message. This is understandable, as this starry-eyed, Twitter-pated couple was anxious to get married. Yet for me, a miracle was needed to pour out to the guest in 10 minutes the weight and glory I received while preparing concerning the fiery, fierce, loyal, and jealous love of the Lord for his bride. I began by saying that two of the most profound and effective ways for a young Christian man to extend the kingdom of God and spread the knowledge of God throughout the earth are, number one, preach the gospel. Proclaim the excellencies of the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, 1 Peter 2:9. And number two, marry a woman, Ephesians 5:25. When a man loves his wife just as Christ loves the church, God's people are comforted and blessed by seeing this living object lesson. In addition, when sinners see the divine bridegroom's love demonstrated by his servants, if God should graciously touch their hearts, as they will exclaim, "If this is how Jesus Christ loves his bride, his people, then I want to become one of them." When the Lord set his affection on his first bride, also known as Israel, it was exclusive, Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 and 7, and Deuteronomy 10, verses 14 and 15. He chose Israel and Israel alone, above all and instead of all other nations. Various Bible translations say, "He set his affection on them. He fastened his heart on them. He attached himself to them," etc. He exuded a love to Israel and, of course, later to the church that was different in kind and degree compared to his overall beneficent love he has in general for the rest of his creation, which includes the angelic host, those who are not his people, and the rest of the animate creation. The nature of this love is described in Song of Solomon as being strong as death, chapter 8, verse 6. I told the wedding guest, "Christ loved his bride to death," John 15:13, Philippians 2:8. When the Lord sets his affection upon a people, it is fierce. It is intense. Even the very flame of the Lord, Song of Solomon again, chapter 8, verse 6, part C. This was displayed with Israel when she played the harlot with other gods. Many people fail to realize when they observe Old Testament texts where the Lord is dealing severely with his people that his fierce anger comes from his intense jealousy. Jealousy is as relentless as the grave, Song of Solomon 8, 6b. And his fiery jealousy is directly proportionate to the depths and degree of his love. This task is impossible for Christian men to achieve as far as loving their wives as Christ loved the church, yet they are commanded to love their wives exactly in that manner. I hope the post the message on my YouTube channel and website as soon as I acquire it and finish post-production on it. A Lawrence Welk walkaway. Well, the wedding was solemn, sacred, joyful, and in a number of places filled with laughter. Another surprise, and in being true to his Hopewell summer camp upbringing, Martin had another surprise for everyone, including me. The recessional song, performed by none other than Lawrence Welk, turned out to be "I'm Getting Married in the Morning" from My Fair Lady, and that's exactly what they did. Speaking of Broadway musicals, Lawrence Hart from the famed musical duo Rodgers and Hart wrote a song in 1925 entitled Manhattan. Its famous line is, "We'll turn Manhattan into an Isle of Joy." And that's exactly what Martin and Maria's wedding did to the Telhai Camp Isle. Lights, camera, action. Gertie? Last month, Kevin Neville, who is Elam Fellowship's Next Gen director, asked if he could come to Wilmington and interview me. He wanted to produce a video/podcast of my life story. He wanted to know about my grandparents, my parents and siblings, childhood, adolescent years, my conversion story, how I came to be connected to Elam, my wife and children, how I was led into the ministry and what I was presently doing, etc. He wanted the works. He said I could take as much time as I wanted and go on as many rabbit trails as I desired. Yes, a scary thought. A unique aspect of this interview is that Kevin used to be the children's pastor at Bethel Christian Fellowship, the very same church where I started in the ministry in 1986 as their children's pastor. Now, when I was there during my tenure, it was called Bethel Full Gospel Church. Kevin had originally told me we would talk for an hour or so and then take a break and then continue. However, as the interview proceeded, I would intermittently ask him if he was okay. Did he need to take a break or get something to eat, etc., and each time he said he was fine and to keep going. So, I did. When we finally concluded the interview, we had gone 3 hours and 40 minutes nonstop. I couldn't believe it. The time flew by. Another very unique coincidental aspect of Kevin interviewing me at this particular time was that it took place just 15 days to the day after my conversion's jubilee year, that is, 50 years ago. Some of you may recollect I shared about this conversion experience in detail in last month's newsletter, which was called Apprehended in a Convent, or Michael Robert Girton's High Noon. And this approximately 3-minute video is also on my YouTube channel. Summer camps, my panacea for Via Dolorosa's absence. Now that Martin and Maria's wedding is commenced and official, for me it is full steam ahead with summer camps. I'll be honest, I have not fully recovered from my deep personal grief that Via Dolorosa in some form or fashion did not happen for the first time in 20 years, this past Easter season, not including, of course, COVID 2020. It was a love of my life in the same way as summer camps are. As with camps, I poured my heart and soul into Via each year with every gift, talent, grace, and anointing our Lord has ever given me. I feel as if I've lost a baby. Yes, it is that deep. Though I keep giving Via and its future to the Lord in His will, timing, and pleasure, I must confess it's my deepest desire He has future plans for it. May it be so. Sincerely, Michael. And my quote for this month's newsletter is going to be something I mentioned above. Jesus loved His bride to death. Appreciate you so very much listening. I hope it blessed your souls. God bless you, Michael.